and Kim and the kids, except for the little one. She stayed home with the grandparents, got some grandparent time. But we're glad that he's with us today. And, you know, used to when Robbie first started preaching, he always got introduced as Brian's son, because everybody knew Brian Sykes. But Robbie's been preaching a while now, and he's his own man, and he helps in the ministry there in North Carolina, there at Charity Bible Church. And also, he has a Bible study over in Asheville every week, on Wednesday night, I believe it is, that they meet. And he's been going over there for several years, teaching that group. And we're glad that he's here today. Every year, he tells me when they come to pick the kids, they used to always come pick the kids up on Friday, and, you know, he'd say, well, I've asked him to preach Sunday. And every year he came up with some excuse why they had to go back home. So this year we changed Bible school around and started on Sunday, so they'd be here on Sunday. And they didn't have any excuses this time, so we're glad they stayed and have time to fellowship together and looking forward to him preaching. So come on, Robbie.
I didn't ever have an excuse. Kim always had an excuse. It's good to be here. I don't need a mic. No. Oh, okay, right here. All right, good deal. That's good. But it is good to be here. I'm excited and also looking forward to the Bible conference coming in September. And we've got several folks from North Carolina planning on coming. And he was saying I do teach a class in Asheville on Wednesday nights. And so if you're ever vacationing or over in that area on Wednesday night, we'd love for you to come by. We have it in a home. It's Dave and Sherry Nesbitt. They have come over here several times for Bible conferences, and we have it in their home. And we started going over there about there you go. We've been going there since '97, so it's in September, it'll be 12 years that we've been meeting there. And then, of course, we help out when we can and at Charity Bible Church as well. So it's anytime you can get over to North Carolina, we'd be glad to have you. I don't know why you'd want to leave this beautiful state to come to North Carolina, but if you would. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Kim and I love this church, and we love the folks here. We appreciate all the hard work that you put in to your ministry here with the Bible school and Bible conferences and your website. Lots of people I hear around in our area that listen to the preaching. I do myself quite frequently to the messages here, and so your work here is a good one. It is a and it's effective, and it's being used, the Lord's using you. And we don't know what might come out of the work that we do here. We will know one day, but I know Galatians says that be not weary in well-doing, for in due time you shall reap. And so I just wanted to say that we appreciate you a lot. Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to start in verse 5 here, very familiar passage of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Lord, we thank You for the health and strength that You provided for us this morning, Lord, to get up out of bed. We thank You, Lord, that You have given a place here for Your people to meet, to study Your Word, to learn more about You, Lord, so that we may better serve You. Lord, we thank You for this ministry of this church, and Lord, we thank You for the people, and Lord, the things and the work that they do here. Lord, we would pray, Lord, that if there would be one here today who is lost, Lord, we would pray that today would be the day that they would see their need for a Savior and call upon You for salvation. Lord, we pray that the saints here would be edified by Your Word. We pray that the teaching, Lord, would be through the Holy Ghost. And Lord, that you would teach us those things that you'd have us to know. Lord, we pray for the man, Brother Jim, Lord, that's sick in the hospital. Lord, we pray that you would be with him and his wife, Lord, and that, Lord, that you would touch him. And Lord, we will give you praise and glory for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. In Proverbs chapter 3, I want to look at this a little bit different. A lot of times this passage of Scripture is looked at as a passage of comfort, and it indeed is that we can trust in the Lord with all our heart, and that if we will acknowledge Him in all our ways, He will direct our paths. But I want to look at it in a little bit different light, because I want to look at the second part of the chapter or verse 5, where it says that you lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him. There's two words here that I'm looking at primarily, and the one word is understanding, and the second one is in verse 6, which is your ways. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him. While we're in Proverbs, I want to look at some scripture here. Look in chapter 16. And we will be referring back to Proverbs 3, so if you have a finger there, that'd be good. But in Proverbs chapter 16, it says in verse 2, in Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. So if we tie that verse into Proverbs chapter 3, where it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, before it says that, it says to lean not into thine own understanding. Why? Because your understanding will tell you that your ways are clean and that your ways are right. But the Lord's ways are the ways of truth. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him. You see, man has an idea of who God is and what God wants based upon their own imagination. And the Bible gives us a different view, which the Bible gives us the true view. And that's one of the reasons that man hates this Bible so much, is because it contradicts their ways, it contradicts their understanding, and they don't like that. You see, turn over to chapter 21 of Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Every way is right in his own eyes. So you have to lean not into your own understanding. It seems right to do something, but the ways thereof leadeth to destruction, is another verse here in Proverbs that is used. The way of a man seems right in his own eyes. It seems like this should be the way it is. And we find that throughout the Bible. We find people throughout the Bible who have shown us that this is true. A prime example of that would be Cain. Look over in Genesis chapter 4. You have two brothers here in Genesis chapter 4. And in verse 3, in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. In verse 3, in the process of time, in other words, there was a time appointed in which these two men were to bring a sacrifice unto the Lord, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. Cain brought of the things that he had worked with his own hands. He had brought, he was a tiller of the ground, and he brought forth that. We know, if you go back to chapter 3, one chapter back, that what does the Bible say about the ground? Cursed is the ground for thy sake. You see, there was nothing Cain could have brought forth from the ground that could be acceptable unto God. It was cursed by God. Cain could have brought everything he could have grown from the ground, and there would never have been enough, and it would never have been satisfactory to the Lord, no matter how much he would have brought. It didn't have to do with how much he would brought. It had to do with what he brought. You see, Abel brought a lamb. He brought the firstling of the flock, and the Lord had respect unto that, because that's what the Lord had wanted, that's what the Lord had said to bring, and that's what he brought. Cain, on the other hand, he leaned to his own understanding. He said, well, you know, Abel, he's just going to bring this one little bloody looking sacrifice. I think the Lord will really like this better. If I bring all this stuff and make it pretty and put it out there with the watermelons, you know, I could just see, like, you go to these spreads at these weddings and things, and they got these watermelons all carved up real pretty, you know, and all the colors, and you know, he had the yellows and the melons, and he had everything laid out there just beautiful. And after a while, nothing happened. You see, fire would come down and, if it was acceptable, and burn it. But what happened to Cain's was it just laid there. Well, what happens to watermelon after it sits in the sun for a while? It starts to stink, doesn't it? I know. There was one time when I was little, I don't know if I've told this story here, but I've sure told it enough that my dad don't like me to tell it. But when I was little, we had gone on vacation somewhere, and so they had put a watermelon in the trunk, and we were going to eat it on vacation, you know. And so we went on vacation and stayed a few days, and that watermelon didn't get out of the trunk. So we're on our way home from vacation, and we start, what in the world is that smell? And it didn't take us long to figure out that watermelon had rotted, and it was stinking. And it took forever to get that smell out of that car. But you see, that's what happens with something cursed from the ground. Whether it's a watermelon or whether it's a human being, we stink. You try not bathing for a while and see if you can get anybody to talk to you. You stink. And that's not anything, I'm not saying it just for you, it's all of us, and that's what the Bible says about us, and yet man sees himself as not that way. And so when he reads the Bible and it says, yeah, you do, you're stinking, you're rotten, you're no good, well, I don't like that. And they close the book up, and they turn on Dr. Phil, or some preacher that'll tell them that they're good and that they can be even better if they'll buy his book. And we're not to lean to our own understanding when it comes to those things. We need a Savior. We are cursed. We have come from the cursed ground. Therefore, we need the sacrifice. And that sacrifice is Jesus Christ. But you see, people today are going about trying to establish their own righteousness. Cain went about trying to establish his own righteousness. But we see, look over in Romans chapter 10. Paul here is discussing his desire for Israel in verse 1. in Romans chapter 10 verse 1. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." They've not submitted themselves. Cain refused to submit himself unto the righteousness of God. He says, "I'm going to be righteous my way, and I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, and Lord, you will like it." But the Lord didn't like it. There's a lot of people today who are playing and pretending, and they think that if they do enough good works, or if they don't do certain things, that they're going to be acceptable unto God, and that the fact is their flesh stinks, and it doesn't matter how many good works that they think they're producing in themselves, they are not producing anything but what is going to stink in the sight of God. They're working and working and working, and it's nothing but stench, just like Cain did. They're workers of iniquity. While we're in Proverbs, turn back to Proverbs and look at chapter 10. In Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 29. "The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity." The workers of iniquity. Now, people would read that verse and say, well, workers of iniquity, that would be people who are doing all the bad things like murdering and committing adultery and doing drugs and all this bad stuff. That would be workers of iniquity. But that's not what a worker of iniquity is. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7, and we can find out what a worker of iniquity is. In Matthew chapter 7, and this, of course, it's dealing with the kingdom, but we get an idea of what workers of iniquity are. In verse 21 of Matthew chapter 7, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord." Are they acknowledging the Lord here? Are they saying, "Lord, Lord"? Are they? They are, aren't they? They are religious people. They're not atheists. They're not, they acknowledge God. They acknowledge the Lord. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful," what? "Works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The word iniquity has the implication of being unequal. Inequality. Iniquity. It's the same Greek, it's the same word there. The same word as in unequal. In other words, what Cain brought forth to God, he believed that it would be equal to what God would want. In other words, he was acknowledging God and he was working for God, and he gave to God that which he equaled would be good work. But it was inequality. It was not acceptable. It was not equal. It was not up to the mark. Sometimes when you read the definition of sin in the 1828 Dictionary of Webster's, the word sin literally means missing the mark, not measuring up Well, if you don't measure up, you're unequal. It's iniquity. And so mankind, thinking that his ways are right and that he's clean in his own eyes, well, I'm good enough that I can do work for the Lord and it will be accepted of him because I'm a good person. That is iniquity. And that's what we have in religion throughout the world today, are workers of iniquity. Don't doubt the fact that they're workers and that they're producing work. They said here, in thy name we've done many wonderful works, but they were unacceptable. Why? Because, well, Jesus said, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. The will of the Father which is in heaven for Cain and Abel was to bring forth a sacrifice, the firstlings of the flock. Cain didn't do that, therefore his work was not acceptable. Well, today, we live in the dispensation of the grace of God. And we live in which a time in which God is building a church, the body of Christ, and he's placing in this church, the body of Christ, those people who will trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Those people who will place their trust in what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross, believing that he died for them on the cross. And when someone believes that message, believes that gospel, in this dispensation of grace, they have done the will of God. God will have all men to be saved. That's the will of God. How do you get saved? Believe the gospel. What's the gospel? Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You want to be pleasing unto God today, you can't do anything pleasing unto God outside of being in Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, I'm not going to turn back over there for time's sake, but Proverbs chapter 15 says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. You know what he's... What that says, the sacrifice that Cain made was an abomination. You know, people, and I am by all means opposed to homosexuality. And I believe that it's sin. I believe it's wrong in the sight of God. And the Bible calls that an abomination. And there'll be people stand up and will say, that's an abomination in the sight of God. Well, so is the sacrifice of the wicked. When someone who is not saved tries to gain favor with God and they sacrifice of themselves and they do work and they do the work trying to be pleasing unto God, that's an abomination unto him. Why? Because they are rejecting what Jesus Christ did for them on the cross. They are in essence saying, I don't need Jesus Christ. Or, I need Jesus Christ, but I got to help him out a little bit because, you know, he didn't do quite enough. But yeah, I believe Jesus died for my sins, but I believe you have to be water baptized also. Well, no. Jesus Christ did it all. You're complete in him. The Bible also says in Proverbs chapter 15 that the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination. Well, I believe in my heart that this is right. Well, that's an abomination if you're not saved. Your thoughts are an abomination. And the Bible says you shouldn't trust in your heart anyway. Your heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Bible says that a fool is one that says, I trust in my heart. So you can't trust in your own. You can't lean to your own understanding. You can't depend on what you think. You have to go to the Word of God and you have to read what the Word of God has to say about it. Look over in Titus chapter 1. Verse 15, Titus chapter 1, verse 15. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and what? unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. There is nothing good that anybody who's lost can do for the Lord. There is no good work. Well, what if they give to the poor? What if they, what if they contribute to the United Way? In the sight of God, it's defiled. It's no good. To the unbelieving, there's nothing that's pure. There's nothing in your flesh that you can offer to God that will be acceptable unto Him, because you are defiled. You are cursed. Therefore, there's nothing good. But the good news is that when someone trusts Christ as their Savior, there's something created in them that makes it possible for them to then do good works for the Lord. That is a glorious blessing of believing the gospel. Look over in Ephesians chapter 2. I was born to a preacher. I was a preacher's kid growing up all the way. My dad was preaching. Even before he was saved, he was preaching. And I was born during that time period. I was about 3 years old when my dad got saved. He had been preaching before that, but he was saved when I was three. And he preached in a First and Baptist. He was a preacher at a Baptist church for several years. He saw the truth of right division and came out of the Baptist system. But throughout my whole life, I heard this gospel that Jesus Christ had died for my sins. I knew the facts of that gospel. I could quote it. I could take you to 1 Corinthians 15. I could tell you that Paul was my apostle. I could tell you that water baptism wasn't for the church, the body of Christ today. I could tell you that the King James Bible was the Word of God. But I was not saved. I had a lot of knowledge growing up. Heard the greatest Bible teachers in the world, including Brother Steve. I heard them, learned. But that was not sufficient enough to be pleasing unto God. You can't gain enough knowledge, just like you can't do enough works to please God. You can't get enough knowledge to please God. It was when I come to realize that there wasn't anything that I could do, and there wasn't anything that I could offer to the Lord, and that I stopped trying, was when I trusted Christ as my Savior. I would go through times of conviction, and I would try to work out deals with God. Lord, if I'm lost, then I'll trust You. Lord, I'm trusting You now if I'm lost. And just trying to make deals with God. And God doesn't make deals. You know, He's not like those folks at the flea market. You know, you go to the flea market and they'll have one price listed there, but if you sit there and talk to them long enough, more than likely you'll get it at a cheaper deal. Well, God doesn't work that way. You don't work deals with God. You don't try to negotiate with God. If you come to the Lord for salvation, you come on His terms, and those terms are there is nothing that you can offer, and you just completely submit and trust what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. The word trust is an amazing word. You know, you can have knowledge and not trust and not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust is it's putting your entire confidence in. Just like you're putting your trust in those pews right now. You're not sitting wondering if that pew's going to hold you up. You don't have to, before you sit down in the pew, you don't have to look at all the screws. You don't look at all the screws and make sure they're all in place and, put your heaviest kit on it first to test it to make sure it's not going to fall. You just sit down. You don't even think about it. You didn't think about it. Before you sit down, you just sit down. That's trust. And when you get to the point in your life when you see that you can't do anything to please God, and there's nothing that you can do in your flesh, and you just commit it unto Him, you trust. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto you, unto Him against that day. Commit. You give it to Him for keeping. You trust. And when you do that, you're saved. And there's something that happens. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship. You see, it's not about our work. It's about His work. And we become His workmanship. We are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Physically speaking, sitting out here in the audience, how many of you physically were created? You have a belly button? You weren't created, you were born. But something here is created unto good works. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You have something, if you've trusted Christ, you've got something created within you that can produce good works. Look in chapter in Ephesians. Look in chapter four. Look in verse 21. Ephesians 4, verse 21. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is what? Created. What's it created in? Righteousness and true holiness. There's something created in you that is righteous and it's holy. You have people who will come up to you and that will say, unless you live beyond sin and without reproach, you cannot enter into heaven, because the Bible says, without holiness no man shall see God. You ever heard anybody quote that? Without holiness no man shall see God. Well, bless your soul, I've got something created in me that is true holiness. It's not some show of the flesh that I don't do this and I don't do that, therefore I'm holy. It is true holiness. It is called in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the righteousness of God. Now, if you look at my flesh and you follow me around long enough, it may take you several years. No, it may take you 5 minutes, but if you follow me around long enough, you're going to find out that I'm a sinner. And I'm in the flesh. And I get mad at people on the road because they drive too slow. Or they pull out in front of you. Especially on 75 right out here before you get into Chattanooga. But there's something within me that is created, that is holy, and that is righteous. And that enables me to do work that is pleasing unto the Lord. That was created to do good works. Let's look in Titus. And I'll be closing up here. In Titus. Let's see. Let's go to chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. It says here, verse 8. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. Now, But well, let's go up to verse 5 first, because there's a contradiction here, or not a contradiction, but a difference here, a showing a contrast. That's the word I was looking for, a contrast. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Not by works of righteousness. Not by works of righteousness are we saved, but through, we are justified by His grace. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Skip down to verse 14. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. You, saved members of the body of Christ, are constantly affirmed and told to maintain good works. Not for salvation, not to keep your salvation, but because God created something within you and ordained you to walk into good works. Therefore, you should maintain good works. And those good works will lead to our reward. In Galatians, we quoted it just a little bit ago, that to be not weary in well-doing, but in due time, if you faint not, you will receive a reward. There's something at the end for us for that. How do we do that? Look over and take two verses. Take 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 2 Timothy chapter 2. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, very familiar. Had to memorize this in Sunday school when I was growing up. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto good works. You've got the Word of God here, and this Bible will instruct you and tell you and will give you everything that you need to do good works in the dispensation of grace. You've got it right here. You will not be able to stand in front of the Lord and say, "But Lord, I didn't know." Because He will turn the Scripture and show you where it is and what it is. You've got the Bible. You've got the Word of God. You've got preachers. You've got teachers who will instruct you in how to maintain good works. You've got it. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. And He tells us how to study the Word. In chapter 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. Well, what's a workman? A man or woman that does work, right? We then are workers together. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, you've got the Bible, and then you're told how to study it. You study it rightly divided. In other words, the Bible is all for us, but it's not all to us. And we've been given an apostle, Paul, who has written down in 13 books those things in which we are to be doing in the dispensation of the grace of God that would be pleasing unto the Lord, and it has to do with knowledge. I told you I was going to end, but I got one more verse. I got just enough of my daddy in me to do that. In Colossians chapter 3, chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1. He says in verse 9, Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." You want to have good works for the Lord? Then you better get in this book and find out what it is you're supposed to be doing. You better get some knowledge. You better learn what it is the Lord's doing in the dispensation of grace. And you need to maintain those good works. That means it's something that you maintain. It's maintenance. It takes maintenance. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, right now would be the perfect time to do it. There's no better time than where you're sitting right now to trust Christ as your Savior. Brother Steve.